Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. So hot out of the gate, the Rangers, one of their targets, now gone. The San Diego Padres are acquiring closer Mason Miller and starter J.P. Sears from the A's. And I know that's been like Mason Miller's been a target for Mike Bassett for quite some time. Obviously, throwing 104. Everybody would love to have that on their team. So Jeff Passan reporting that the breaking news is the Padres have acquired them. And now the Rangers have other options they have to go seek. We'll get into those in just a minute. I'm Corey Majors alongside Fred Davis. Got Alec Medford in the studio. Fred?
Yes, sir.
How are you feeling about working here today?
I'm thrilled, dude.
All right, that's awesome. I'm jacked, that's awesome. Man. The Padres, it looks like the Padres and Mariners and Angels are very serious about contending. Right. Yeah.
No, that AL West just got real serious.
Yeah, this the Mason Miller thing, that's a dude that I think was always an unattainable project for the Rangers. It would have cost, we were talking about it, was Foscue, Osuna, maybe a couple of other pieces, A.J. Russell, Brock Porter. Would be like the four that you would probably be okay with trading there, and that's still probably not enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's going to get so much back. But again, Bobby was talking about it this morning. Dude makes $700,000. He fit perfectly under what the Rangers were doing. A few moments or an hour ago or so, Bob Nightingale said Rangers under financial constraints, hoping to clear a bit of payroll today to bring in help for their bullpen. They're tied with the Mariners for third. And that would be ultimately the goal. And I don't know if it would be John Gray.
Yeah.
Hopefully not Adolis. Like that, I like Adolis enough to keep him around. I love John Gray as a person, but I understand where his salary could be beneficial to the team. And if you're going to move him for another bullpen piece, that would be good for the Rangers.
No, I'm okay with that. I mean, look, you've played masterful baseball. Well, let's put it this way. You've pitched masterfully this year without him for 98.2% of it. And unfortunately, the last time we saw him, he was getting rocked.
Yes.
Right? And so, and look, that's not a – we don't want to paint him with a broad brush and say, okay, that's the John Gray. Just look, the guy's still coming back, right? Yeah. I mean, we saw what Evaldi looked like a couple weeks ago when he came back from his arm, right? So, but to your point – you've learned that, all right, you can survive without him. He's not the most pivotal piece. This isn't the John Gray from 2023.
Right.
Right, that was a linchpin of that bullpen, right, or just of that pitching staff. So
had a huge moment in the World Series.
Absolutely, yeah, right? Sure, I mean, and you need guys like that, but, you know, who's to say that Chris Martin couldn't be that guy this year when he comes back? Yeah. Who's to say that Robert Garcia couldn't be that guy, who ultimately might have, dare I say, solidified himself as your closer? Because he's looked the best so far, you know, ever since kind of getting rocked against the Padres, you know, bringing them back up. I'll say this. I almost think, though, you still need a bat almost worse than you need.
They definitely
some bullpen help.
Because Jack Peterson's not hitting.
He's done, as far as I'm concerned.
But the problem still is that he's got another year on his contract. That money exists, and you got to find somebody to go, yeah, we'll take that off your plate for you. But you're right. Finding a – and I wouldn't say – just listening to some other people around the Rangers, I wouldn't say that it's necessarily we got to go find somebody that can do what Jack Peterson did or does.
Well, what does he do?
But yeah, or what
he's done nothing
what
for
they
you all
expected
year.
Him to do,
right?
But it might be a guy who can be a good on base, high on base percentage kind of guy to give them runners on base for some of these other guys they know can clear them.
Is it one of those deals where you're hoping that Jake Berger gets healthy and the guy that you thought you were going to get when you traded for him turns out to be that guy after all?
Yeah, you've kind of felt like he was making his way back into that thing that we
expected. Steps forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
And I've said this time and time again, I do think the situation with his daughter right before the season started, I think factored into it just from a mental standpoint. And then he's just been dinged up, and I don't think he's ever really been able to get into a rhythm. I mean, we saw a little snippet of it when he came back from Round Rock, right, about a month or so, whatever it was, and he was swinging a decent bat. But it just seems like since then he just hasn't been able to find a groove.
A lot of the listeners know what I went through with Lucy when she was born.
Yeah.
And Fred, I don't know if you you know this, but Lucy was born with a brain injury, and we experienced, we were in 14 days at doctor, yeah. at Children's and the NICU. We went through all these testing up in Cleveland, like the whole process of it all. I understand that the mental drain, you're right. not there. You're not mentally That's- there. But when he left for a little while, he took about 3 days, went and probably saw his hitting coach,
yeah.
took some breaths. And then came back and looked a little fresher.
100%.
And then the injury hurt. So, yeah, that is a big hope. But, man, if you can add one more to it, it'd be, sure very, would be nice. Very nice. The A's are receiving shortstop Leolis DeVries. Yep, that's how you say it, I bet. The number 3 overall prospect in baseball, along with 3 pitchers from San Diego for Mason and Sears. So that Dang. Is the somebody asked if they were getting fleeced. I think that's the A's are – that's right in the A's MO, right? Like, let's – prospects – cheap and prospects, like that's what they're all about. And if we can get a prospect to turn into something, we'll trade them away. And that's what Mason Miller was.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not get romantic about baseball?
Exactly. From the 972, Corey and Fred in the morning. Y'all are my 2 favorite people to listen Aww. To on the fan. From the 972 as well. Going to be a good day on KNC. A lot of people sending some love your way, Fred.
Well, except for the 940 guy. Great. Here comes Fred the weirdo. This guy is always talking about sex and weird bleep. So, you know, hey, I got my lovers and my detractors. All right. Hey, stick around. Final hour could get weird.
Well, that's what everybody's been saying. Yeah. That's been the warning.
I don't understand.
Not to you. Yeah. Not about you, but about you and me together. That's been the warning.
Could get weird?
Is that it's gonna is gonna chaos could happen because I have a tendency to let
go
chaos
off the rails.
Happen. I like chaos.
Hey, man.
You never know what's gonna happen whenever chaos life. Is going on around you.
I'm all for it.
So it's always fun.
Are you one of those guys that calms down when the chaos comes around?
Bit. Yeah, see, I feel like I'm right the eye in the tornado.
So you're like
the
a first
storm.
Responder. Okay, I remember having Sheriff Mitch Woods from Jefferson County tell me. This is what makes first responders different than everybody else. When crisis happens, most people run away from it. First mm-hmm. responders run to it.
That is different, though, because there was one time when my son, there were a bunch of bees on the ground, yeah. and I ran and left my 3-year-old
child?
Son
wow.
back, and I thought
wow.
he would just run with me. I was like, bees, and I took
Didn't
off.
Didn't think to grab the little guy,
And when
huh?
I turned around, he was holding one, yeah. and it stung his hand, and then I had
Built
to carry
different.
Him. But I learned that day that he just... didn't go with me in that moment. So, but guess what? I first responded back to him. So that's what was important at that moment.
It was really
moment.
A drill. You were wanting to see, you were testing yeah. his fight or flight.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
And I learned in that moment. So we'll keep an eye on everything that's going on with the Rangers throughout the day. We will keep an eye on the trade deadline as it runs all the way up until the G-Bag Nation. So good luck to the Rangers on trying to pull something off. And I know that Alec
Phil
Medford.
Phil Maton, here we come.
Alec Medford, who is now wearing the Ray-Ban. He's recording everything we say.
Oh, is that what's going on there?
Yeah it's gotten federal, guys. Commercial breaks, you might want to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Seriously.
By the way, you mentioned this off air. Yeah. The report now is also from Bob Nightingale. Padres can now move Dylan Cease.
Oh, okay.
After getting J.P. Sears in this trade. And Cease isn't playing great.
Well, Jim Bowden said that the Astros are the favorite to get Dylan Cease.
That is on the docket for them. So, we'll keep an eye on everything that's going on around here. For the Rangers, because Rangers still on the road. Chris Young out in Arlington on the phones working those right now. That is the hope and the desire for everybody. Mm. Now, last night, it's nice to get a win for the Rangers.
Needed one last night.
Even when Nathan Eovaldi wasn't at his best. Like he was, if you watched last night, there were pitches that were hitting the dirt that don't typically.
Yeah.
Pitches that were getting hit. Now, the Angels have figured something out about Mike Maddox's his sequencing, I'm guessing, but they know how to hit the Rangers. And last night, after 3 runs, I was like, dadgum, is this going to be another one of those flat nights from this
team?
Now,
but here's the thing, though. But as far as Evo goes, I wonder how much of the – because and look, Victory Plus, which, by the way, real quick, do you guys have the same problem with it on your TV versus your phone?
What do you mean?
As far as the app goes.
So I have Fubo, which it has the Rangers package with it. So
maybe
I just watch it all on Fubo. It's stream. I love it. It's paid quarterly. So that's nice too, except for every quarter I get surprised when I pay. I'm like, oh crap, what happened? But I don't have whatever.
Yeah, so Victory Plus, they'd been on a good run there, and last night it just kept buffering on my television. So anyway, I had to watch it on my phone. Unfortunately, TV, phone, whatever. That said, I'm wondering if with Evo, that eighth inning, the fact that, you know, he'd already thrown, what, 80, 90 pitches, yeah. and Bassick and
Dave
Raymond.
I was surprised
he
actually got that far after the three runs he gave up.
Well, and the fact, the thing is, though, the fact they brought him back out for the eighth.
Yeah.
That, you know, considering that, you know, they had the long two out rally in the top of the eighth, I was surprised they brought him back out. I don't make much of those final two runs. I think that was as much about as, look, you got out of a rhythm, you know, you've already thrown 90 pitches, your arm was already a little taxed, so that doesn't surprise me as much considering the first seven innings he was dealing.
Yeah.
Those first seven innings.
Well, so that's where I was, like, fourth inning, he gave up some hits, he had the bases loaded situation they got out of with Trout. That was awesome.
Well,
that was one of those moments where I was like, so a while back, my wife, we're sitting there and she goes, Mike Trout, I've heard that name before. Is he good? And right as she said that, he hit a home run, and I was like, son of a...
Well, thanks.
This is not... And so last night, I looked over, and I went, bases loaded, and Mike Trout's up. And she goes, is that bad? And I was like,
here we go.
So that when he got out of that situation, I was like, okay, we're... But that's why I say, only two strikeouts on the night. He just wasn't as typical as I'm used to seeing, but he did make it. I was surprised that he made it deeper into that game.
You know as well as anybody, Corey.
He's a bulldog.
When you've got, and whether it's, I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football, there's always that one team, especially a divisional rival, that just plays you a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason.
Was my favorite baseball player of all time when he was at the Angels. He destroyed us.
And that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those situations where you know going in when it comes to Angels and, you know, throw the records out, Corey.
That's right.
When the Angels and the Rangers get together.
This is from Texas Rangers PR this morning. Nathan Eovaldi recorded career win number 100. Last night, finishing July with a 5-0 record,
nice,
a 0.59 ERA,
ballin',
a 0.9. I'm sorry, did I say 0.59?
You said 0.59.
0.95 WHIP, a 0.198 opponent batting average. That's insane.
No, that's
under 200 batting average. 8 walks to 30 strikeouts. Strikeouts over 5 starts for the month. The dude was insane during this month. There have been just 2 other months in franchise history in which a starting pitcher posted 5-plus wins with a sub-1 ERA. Both were Kenny Rogers. 1 in 95, 1 in 2005.
Okay.
Pretty insane that he did it 10 years apart. But that's Kenny Rogers right there. No MLB pitcher has accomplished this feat since May of last year. So that's pretty special stuff. We got a special dude. Plus, we got DeGrom, too, which is why I think everybody out there is so adamant about we need to add to this team.
You'd like to. But again, like you said, you're up against it with what you have at your disposal. It's not like you've got just a boatload of prospects to sift through, but, you know, financially, I mean, if you're not going to entertain going into the luxury tax, which, again, it's easy for me to say go ahead and do it because it's not my money, but I guess the question I have is, okay, because you get into another tax bracket and then you lose some draft picks, correct? All right. I mean, look, you got, what, 50 draft picks in baseball.
And $1 million in your international pool, and they do not want to lose that $1 million in their international pool.
But I would argue this, if it was a game changer, and Choppy and them talked about this morning, is there anybody that fit, now that Mason Miller's gone, is there anybody that even fits that description as far as who would be a game changer that you could go out and get that's on the market, or maybe a deal that we haven't seen yet, is, I guess, would be the real question.
There's one pitcher from the Giants, and if the Giants are practically,
I mean, look, they're 6 games out of the wild card, and Buster Posey's shown he's willing to deal.
Yeah, it's Camilo Doval. He's 27.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think what's left is about $1 million this year. So he fits right in with what the Rangers could do. He's got arbitration for the next 2 years, throws 97, 99, 101. Saw him a couple of years. This has been my dream. A couple of years ago in the World Baseball Classic,
okay,
I saw him pitching. I think it was for the Dominican Republic. And I was like, that's the dude.
Yeah.
Like that, watching the gas that he had. Now, he's had a little bit of a down year.
Right.
But he does
right.
have a career 39 saves in one season. He knows how to save. That's a dude that I would throw right.
Well,
that
you got the best pitching coach in baseball.
Absolutely,
you
do.
You throw Mike Maddux in there, let him work his magic. I mean, cancel Christmas.
Keep it low, and then every once in a while throw it at their face just to get them off of the plate. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, live from Oxnard, our Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, next on The Fan. Many of you have asked about it, and it is back, your favorite contest, Fan Phenom, your chance to win an audition. You're going to win that. And then you join the fan team. And we're teaming up with Jake's Burgers, DFW Staple, and our community will host four tryouts. The first one, Thursday, August 7th. We are going to be there, by the way. We're going to be setting the table for that one. Jake's 7910 State Highway 78 in Sachse. Actually, we won't be there for that one. That'll be a different one. So that one's coming up on August 7th, your first chance to win Fan Phenom. And right now, brought to you by Ford. Ford, your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. He's on our hot seat, Wild Forks Ford Foods, wildforkfoods.com. Elite Game Day Grilling favorites. It is Mickey Spagnuolo. Mickey, what's going on, man?
How are you guys today?
Well, I got Fred with me today because Kevin is now taking his trip to Germany. So he will be gone until 2 weeks, like 2 weeks from now. So
during training camp, he goes to Germany?
I know. He's on a mission,
okay,
and it is a it's a mission to teach German children how to play baseball and about Jesus. So
well,
that's
I take it back.
Then. Yeah, that's his that's his goal over the next couple of weeks. We wish the best of luck to him. So I do have Fred with me, and Mickey, I really appreciate the video that you did yesterday for Best Buy Windows and Siding, talking about how you're going to work on your guns for Tank Top Tuesday. Because I missed Tank Top Tuesday, I rolled out Tank Top Thursday, and Fred has joined me. But, Mickey, you've been a very big advocate of Tank Top Tuesday, and I really appreciate it.
We'll see how long I could remember it, okay?
There we go. And, again, this is a summertime thing. You don't have to do it during football season, all right?
Okay,
so we'll let you off the hook during.
They probably don't want me showing up at the Star with a tank top
doing
on,
the Cowboys hour, showing off some guns. So yesterday's practice was a little different. Competitive, but maybe a little too chippy, huh?
Oh, yeah, I guess, depending on what's officially said and what's felt behind the scene, right? Look, they wear a sweatshirt, they wear t-shirts, and it says compete every day.
Yep.
And I think if you're going to up the level of the competition, at some point, boys will be boys, right? And so, yeah, you don't want the fighting, the shoving, because if it's a game and you throw a punch, you get thrown out. So that's one thing I think Schottenheimer's trying to impress on these guys.
Gotcha.
But there was part of me at the end when that happened. To me, look, practice was just about over. Okay, they were at 1:15. They had practice an hour and a half. They were in shells. And I think it gave Schottenheimer a good excuse to do two things. I think in the back of his mind, and he probably wouldn't admit it, that he wanted them to run some because they really hadn't done any conditioning like that.
He talked about conditioning the whole week we were out there, Mickey. That whole week it seemed like he was talking about being in better shape and being in better condition.
Right. But they never ran sprints that I saw. A lot of the conditioning was part of the practice. And then it gave him an opportunity to chew him out about the fighting. But I've seen this before where coaches just go off on the team. And in the back of their mind going, yes, this is what I need. I need physicality, right? Now, you don't want punches thrown. So, I know it was made a big deal. But, hey, it's old school, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you run sprints in high school after practice?
It might take those guys back to a little bit of when they fell in love with the game. You know, reminding them. Except for that part. And I never want to do that. How was practice leading up to it, though? Like, they ran about, I saw charts, 46 plays. But I heard it was a pretty crisp practice going, like,
what they were
trying to accomplish.
And both sides, I thought, had their moments. I thought the offense, when you see on back-to-back plays. Dak Prescott throwing back shoulder fades from, I don't know, maybe the 5-yard line. The first one to CeeDee Lamb over Deron Bland. The second one to Pickens over Marquise Bell. To see those hookups like that so close to the goal line, that'll give, if they can continue that, that'll give some defenses pause about how they play the Cowboys close to the goal line. And it might, if they see things like that, enhance their ability to run the ball into the end zone, which was something the Cowboys did struggle with the last couple years. So that was good to see. It was Dak hooking up with Ferguson for another one, and even Joe Milton got in the act with John Stevens, who, by the way, you know, tore ACLs in the last two training camps, so it's been a while since he's played some real football. And that was good to see after, I think, one of the first or second practices in pads. He had a couple drops, right? And then you start, when that happens, you know, you just kind of get remind yourself, I haven't played a lot of football. I thought the team ran the ball well. And again, you know, they're thumping up, not as much when you're in shells. And Jaden Blue, I thought, had a really good day.
Mickey, Fred here. Pleasure to finally get a chance to talk with you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. CeeDee was on this morning with the morning show, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And one of the things he mentioned, which, you know, I thought was kind of a not a, kind of a subtle indictment on the previous regime, was that there's more discipline in this year's group, or at least so far in this year's training camp from the coaching staff, and that he really likes that because, look, if you look at this roster, it's never been about talent, but it's been about discipline in key moments. Are you sensing, or is it easily identifiable difference in the amount of discipline that's being dished out this year, or just in how things are carried out this year versus previous years?
Yeah, I heard him say that here. When he did, he was on the podium and he did mention something like that. Well, what does discipline mean? Does discipline mean guys, you know, accurately carrying out their assignments?
Yeah.
Is that discipline? I'm not sure. You can talk about discipline, but discipline doesn't have anything to do with losing your quarterback halfway through the season, right?
Right.
And let's remember, until last year, this team went 12-5, 12-5, 12-5. I think that gets lost in the shuffle because they didn't advance further in the playoffs.
Well, do you think maybe that's what he's talking about then? It does take that little bit, and he kind of mentioned that a little bit, and I think RJ and them talked about the penalties and what have you. Is maybe that the part that he's getting to where it's having the discipline not to make those little mistakes that separate going to a championship versus getting knocked out in the first round?
Yeah. When you give up 40-some points in a playoff game,
that's,
I don't know if that's, you know, I understand. He could be right. He knows what's going on. But again, I think we get carried away sometimes because of 7-10 last year, right? And there were reasons for that. I don't know that it was disciplines or penalties. We'll see how that plays out. Because remember, this is practice, right?
Not a game.
And they're trying things. And the reason you're here in camp to practice is to kind of get yourself and perfect things when you actually play in a game. So, you know, there's some young guys out there that are in situations that they hadn't been in a situation before. You know, with Nate Thomas, this guy didn't play any football last year. He spent the entire season on injured reserve. So now he's suddenly finds himself working with the first team at left tackle. And it's like, okay, big boy, now you got to get out there and practice and, you know, try to improve every day. The reason he's there is because they project his talent I think a little higher than being a seventh-round draft choice that basically they didn't get a chance to see last year. So that's he needs the reps just as much as Tyler Guyton needed the reps, and that's the worst part of his injury. Now, yep. You know, 4 to 6, okay, fine. There's 4 weeks in August, and we'll see where he's at when they got to make the cut to 53 if they have to put him on injured reserve or not. But he needed reps, and Thomas needs reps too.
What have you noticed different about Eberflus's defense from last year's defense with Zim?
I think one of the things that he's almost getting back to what Quinn was trying to do, more attacking, especially with the front, especially with the defensive tackles. They seem to be more on the move than kind of trying to hold down the fort at the line of scrimmage and then let other people come in and clean it up. I think that's one thing I've seen that was different. And now you got to have the talent to do it.
For
also,
sure. Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of maybe what's going on right now is a lot of experiment. See if what I want to do fits what I got to that who's trying to do it. I think that, you know, I thought Eberflus was like, you know, what were the keys to stopping the run? And he said, no house.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guests on defense.
Yes.
Meaning we got to have cornerbacks tackling. It takes everybody to be able to play the run. And if you look at what's happened in the last two losing seasons the Cowboys have had, 2020 and 2024, they were ranked against the run in 2020 31st and ranked against the run last year 29th.
Gross.
Now, I don't know if that's a coincidence or you know, it had something to do with a losing record combined with, in both of those seasons, by the way, losing your starting quarterback.
Do you have the cornerbacks to do that? Do you have them right now? I mean,
I don't know if I got them on the field.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I mean, you're still missing.
Elam plays pretty tough.
Well, and we'll see, right? You know, he got bypassed in Buffalo. You know, he didn't have a bad rookie year. Then he got hurt. And then they drafted another corner, if I remember correctly, and somebody, third, fourth, fifth round pick, stepped up in his absence, and he really never engaged after that. So the guy's got speed, and he showed that, you know, he can engage covering. Now, I think the key thing will be what happens when they get in some of these preseason games, you know, how he performs. And they need him to be a top 3-4 cornerback. You know, they don't have Savon Revel out there either. Deron Bland just got back after he missed several days. And, you know, they've got to find somebody. Diggs is not there, and it doesn't look like, you know, it's that close. Not only does he have to continue rehabbing from his surgery, now he's got to get in condition to play too. And so that's another factor that'll determine when he gets back into practice. And then somebody's got to win, you know, that slot job on the nickel to take the place of Jordan Lewis. So there's a lot to sort through before they play that first game against Philadelphia.
Mickey, on the other side of the ball, talking about the wide receivers, look, we already know who 1 and 1A or 1A, 1B are going to be. We've heard Mingo's name thrown out there is looking really good so far. We've heard Turpin have his moments. Last year's you know, 2/3, Jalen Tolbert. I haven't heard anything really overwhelming about, you know, number one. Where's he at in the pecking order right now? And, you know, could he be a guy that, you know, could be a camp casualty when it's all said and done?
No, he's not going to be a casualty. I'll guarantee you that. Okay. I mean, we're talking the guy that led him in touchdown receptions last year, by the way. I think that gets lost, too.
It does.
And that was his kind of breakout year. He's had a couple drops. You don't want to see that. I think what's going to happen with that third, the third guy, it's going to be a rotation on what are you trying to accomplish on this play.
Okay.
And so there's been a pretty good rotation in there with Turpin, with Tolbert. Mingo's got some, although he's basically been on the outside when the second team receivers get in there, if you want to call them second team. So what are you trying to do? Because, see, the X factor and all that is CeeDee Lamb can play in the slot. So if he's going in the slot, what's my best bet on the other outside guy across from Pickens? Is it Mingo? Or is it Tolbert? They've been using Turpin quite a bit in the slot. And they lined up, I think it was yesterday, three guys wide to one side. I think it was to the left side. It was CeeDee Lamb, Turpin, and Pickens. Now, which one are you going to double? Because you can't double all three, and both of them could run by you, right? And I've noticed that a lot of the passes going to Turpin are not, you know, what we're used to seeing, little swing passes or a screen pass or using them in a jet sweep. They're throwing the ball down the field to him. Now, I'm not talking deep, but I'm talking, you know, 10-yard, 15-yard passes where if they're doubling, you know, the other guys and he's getting zoned, as long as he knows where to go, he's going to beat the defense to the spot with his speed. Let's not forget that this guy can scoot. So I think they got a variety of things to handle or utilize when they're going three wide.
Great stuff, Mickey. We will get up. We'll talk with you again tomorrow, man.
I'll be here. See you guys.
There he goes. Later. On the hot seat, Wild Forks Foods. WildForkFoods.com. Elite Game Day Grilling favorites. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece. It is trade deadline day. Here's some prospects the Rangers could move. Next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for Baseball Nuggets, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. There's a whole lot happening on trade deadline right now. And one of the significant things that's standing out right now is the trade. AJ Preller, very well known for pulling off trades at the deadline.
Boy, he ain't worried about trading off the number 3 overall prospect in baseball.
So, let's add to that.
I love it.
By the way, because I just saw...
Oh, he gave up a lot of good prospects.
He gave up their number 1, their number 3, their number 13, and number 17 ranked prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that's what they gave up there. They got Mason Miller and J.P. Sears in the trade. The Tigers and Yankees are among teams that are still engaged with the Pirates on their available relievers, and the Rangers are still in this. I guess one of the questions regarding what A.J. Preller just gave up.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at the history with John Daniels and A.J. Preller and Thad LaVine, prospects are currency.
You
never know how they're going to turn out.
You don't.
So he's like, I want to win now. And he was always in win now mode, and it looks like he's continued to go with that. And they have a team that's built for it right now. But that's where the if it's this expensive, Tolo's out there, are you willing to pay the price that it might take to get somebody that could help your team? And that's where a lot of Rangers fans are probably looking, going, I'm still torn. I think this team can do something. I want them to do something. Just do something is probably what a lot of Rangers fans are feeling right now.
I don't disagree with you. I think, when you look at what you got back with Mason Miller, like you said, he's making $700,000 a year, and obviously that'll tick up over the next 3 years, but he's under control for the next 4 years, and he might be the best closer in baseball that you don't know about. I mean, obviously, baseball fans, you know, your baseball fans do, but he plays in with the A's, who don't even have a real city. I mean, seriously, think about it. When you hear announcers say the Athletics, like I heard Eric Nadel or Matt Hicks the other day say the Sacramento Athletics, which I think was the first time I'd heard anybody reference Sacramento, these Sacramento Athletics all year.
Yeah.
Which tells you all you need to know about what a cluster you know what
it is.
The Athletics
and
are.
Everybody hates playing for them right now.
You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, Mason Miller could shoot into the stratosphere from a popularity standpoint in San Diego, especially you consider it's going to be them and the Dodgers going, you know, head to head over the next two months.
True,
right? I mean, Rob Manfred is licking his chops right now.
Absolutely,
when you take one of the bright young players, and we love closers in sports, right?
Yes,
I mean,
do.
That's the one thing we love: guys who can close games out. We love guys that can hit home runs. We love guys that strike people out. And oh, by the way, Mason Miller throws really, really fast.
Yeah. And a lot of people are, I heard a lot of people saying they wanted to stretch him into a starter. Let's let him be a closer like he is.
Just let him do that.
Jeff Wilson points out this would be the equivalent of the Rangers trading Sebastian Walcott and more. So that's where, just kind of understand, if you have a deal like the A's and Padres just pulled off together, that's what it would kind of cost. Now, there was a piece on the morning news Evan Grant put together, and he has five prospects the Rangers could trade away. Now, so some of these names you may know, some you may not. Cole Drake is the first one on the list. Cole Drake, 25 years old. He's left-handed from Wiley, and he's the closest thing the Rangers have to offer in terms of major league ready.
Yeah.
Right now, 2.62 ERA over 17 starts at AA over the last two seasons. He was just promoted to AAA Round Rock earlier this month, averaged 11 strikeouts per nine. I love that. And this is a kid that I've been watching for 2 years now, going, I can't wait to see this guy come up. But I also knew that he could be a casualty because he is one of their better ones. He's not a top 100 prospect, but he is something that teams are looking at going, no, he's a really good mid-level type starter. He has the strikeouts over nine.
He's a lefty.
The big thing about him, too, was early on when he was younger, he was a little heavier.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, you need to lose some weight. He goes and loses the weight, puts in the work to do it, and then his velo goes up. And so they're like, see, this is exactly what we're talking about. So Cole Drake, one of my projects for some time now, is one of them. Mike Bacsik recently gave me credit for finding Kamar Rocker, so I'm just going to start finding all the pitchers.
I mean, you really went on a limb with the Kamar Rocker.
Well,
one,
nobody known him at the time. That is the fact. At the time, he was not a known commodity yet.
And, In what way?
When he was at Vanderbilt still. That first season.
You talking about before he went number three to the Mets?
Yes. Okay. Before then, too. Yeah. Before that, he was. I had actually, even before that season, the season before that was the one.
Okay,
that
so
I was
you're
like,
you're scouting him at Vandy.
We were watching him, and I was like, then out of nowhere I went, who the hell is this Jack Leiter kid?
So
we learned about that.
Okay.
Another one, left-handed pitcher, Mitch Bratt, is an option as well. He's the second best left-hander in the Rangers farm system. He's got a 4-1 career strikeout to walk ratio, 22 years old, younger than Drake, so might have a little more upside. And that's something you can sell. His velocity on his fastball hasn't jumped a ton, but he's still one of those kind of names. He's been very good in the minor leagues so far.
Real quick, last thing about Cole Drake, though. The fact that he's 25 years old and he's still in AAA, does that bother you at all?
No, because I know what, like, I understand how the process goes.
Yeah.
And the Rangers also stack people in front of him with DeGrom and Eovaldi and all these veterans.
Yeah.
Which Bochy likes playing veterans. That's a fact. He probably honestly didn't want Kamar Rocker to start this year.
Yeah.
He was probably saying, let's get him some more experience in the minor leagues.
Which would have made sense, right?
And especially when you watched Kamar Rocker couldn't hold runners on to start the season and he needed some more experience. But he said, all right, front office, that's what y'all want. We'll work with him. And they did. With Cole Drake, I've just kind of watched what he's done over the years, and he's gotten more consistent, more steady. And I think he's a steady arm to go out there.
Okay.
Caden Scarborough, a lean, lanky right-hander from Central Florida. Only about 10 1/3 professional innings going into 25. He had some injuries.
He's another big dude, though. 6'5", 185.
Yeah, you can rock with that.
You know, you absolutely
That's
can.
That's something you can sell,
10, 20 pounds on this kid?
You add something like that in one of those, hey, let's add another prospect to the conversation, and you feel they see those types of numbers, and that's the first, they're going, yeah, we can work with something like that. Struck out 83 in 64 innings in Class A. So that's a good number.
No, it absolutely is.
I learned so much from Mike while he was here.
Mike, real quick, not to make this a Mike Glazing segment, but I said this to CA when I started listening to him on Victory Plus. Hands down, one of the best, if not the best, baseball color commentator I've heard.
He tells you what's going on in the game and then tells you why it's going on, and he does such a good job.
That's the part right there.
Yeah.
The why. Any Tom, Dick, or Hank can tell you what's happening. I get all that, and you can tell me some story that pertains to your career and juxtapose what's happening. But the explanation of why a pitcher is making the pitch he's making and why they're what's going on behind the scenes. Very few, and you know, I mean, very few in any sport
right.
give you that behind-the-scenes look. And that's one thing about Bassick I appreciate.
I'm always surprised that it feels like some of these play-by-play guys are having to pull things out of these guys. And Mike's just like, I'm an open book, ready to give. Now, obviously, he has opinions, too. And,
Which I love. And
that can be chaos sometimes. But Mike does a very good job at it. But one of the things that he was always adamant about is, if you're not dominating in the minor leagues, you're not ready to be a pro. He was like, you really need to dominate.
You've got to.
Instead of just being a guy that you're like, that's barely good enough to be good in high school. You know, like, what's this guy doing? Why is he a professional player right now?
Seriously.
And the Rangers did that for a while. Another couple names real quick. Alejandro Osuna, who we've seen, we know, we love. He could be an option as well as Yeremy Cabrera.
I didn't realize that was his brother that played with the Astros. Roberto.
Oh, really? Really? That's him? I didn't either. You just told me that.
There you go.
So now I know. Is that?
Yeah,
okay.
That guy.
The bad guy.
That guy. Tell you what, though, he's a hell of a closer.
And you know what? Well, he gets a lot of advice from his brother. He talks to him all the time.
Tells him what to do and what not to do.
And that's probably a good thing.
Probably a good idea. I don't know about dating advice, but I don't know about that.
All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, NFL overreaction or reality, the remaining free agent edition next on The Fan.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.